Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio, as the other networks have also picked up our program. And now we're spread completely around the world: Ireland, England, New Zealand, Australia, New Guinea, Philippines, all across North America, Colombia. It's all our great listeners that have been downloading shows from the present, downloading shows from the past. We've got a wonderful audience, and we've got a wonderful show planned tonight. As always, our studio producer, and doing it so well, Melissa Hovey, our technical engineer, Wayne Larson. Music! And music is so important, Jim Johnson. And our guest is going to be, he's legendary here in the Midwestern part of the United States with one of the great bands of the 70s, the Faith Band. Carl Story will be joining us, as we expect a tremendous hour. We've already had lots of fun chatting with Carl, and it's going to be a great show. And as always, from the magical, wonderful, and very large and newly renovated Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Why, good evening, Mr. Batson. We're pretty excited about the show tonight.
We are.
We got Carl Story on to tell us some Carl stories.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's going to be a great hour. He was, for the folks that grew up in Indianapolis, Central Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, gosh, all over the Midwest, Carl Story was the lead vocalist for one of the best bands ever, Faith Band. And we've got a couple musical selections we'll play tonight, talk to Carl about his musical career and his journey that is not over. He's still doing it, so we're very excited about that. This half hour, the entire hour, I should say, is brought to you by We Want You Cottages in Chautauqua Lake, New York. We had the opportunity to stay there, and what fantastic accommodations they have. Peter and Kathy Weimer, and also his brand new Chautauqua Lake BigfootExpo.com link that will show you all the latest information that has been accumulated by researchers on the existence of the Sasquatch or Bigfoot. That's right. And he's decided to take over the whole hour of Larry Batson's Wild World. And he makes it possible for us to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time, from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for August 1st. Well, let's start out the news tonight in Carl Storyland. We're heading off to the Lone Star State, Texas.
It is, yeah.
All right. A two-headed Texas cooter turtle that was born last month at the San Antonio Zoo, who, by the way, is named Thelma and Louise, has become so popular that she has her own Facebook page.
Wow.
Now, she's quite a cutie. Well, they're quite a cutie, I guess you'd say. So if you'd like to see these newborns, a two-headed Texas cooter turtle,
mm-hmm.
check out the Facebook page there at the San Antonio Zoo.
Yeah, they're very similar to the chicken turtle or the painted turtle.
Correct. Yeah.
And guest Doug Hodel used to be an employee of mine many years ago. He's moved on to the biopark in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but for a long time he's a big part of the Rio Grande Zoo there, the San Antonio Zoo in San Antonio, New York. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. All right, well, while we're talking turtle, we need a little help in Phoenix, Arizona. The Arizona Fish and Game Department is looking for people to adopt desert tortoises. Now, what they did was they had a backyard breeding program, and it led to an overpopulation.
A backyard breeding program?
Yeah, exactly. The tortoises are native to the region and can grow up to about 15 pounds and live up to 100 years.
I know, they can.
And how many tortoises have you rescued?
Well, we have four now, but we have African cicada tortoises, and we've had to build fences all around all of our plants or they would eat them, and I would hear my wife screaming, come and get this thing. But did I tell you the story about the guy that down in Florida that had one of those and it dug a tunnel underneath his neighbor's yard?
No.
And his neighbor was mowing the grass one day on his lawn tractor. And he looked over and all of a sudden the neighbor on his lawn tractor disappeared. He'd driven into one of these holes that these big tortoises had dug into his yard.
Well, you have a rather large one. How heavy would you say your biggest one is?
He's probably about 110 pounds.
Yeah, now that's a big turtle.
And they eat grass all summer, so.
You can paint him and put him on a Volkswagen lot.
Yeah, I guess we could.
All right, now, this isn't good news.
Uh-oh.
Wrightwood, California.
Should I get my Kleenex?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the discovery of a plague-infected squirrel has prompted the closure of three campgrounds in the Angeles National Forest. Now listen to this. A squirrel trap there on July 16th tested positive for bubonic plague.
Hmm.
Now the disease is spread through flea bites, and it can be fatal.
I think you have to be bitten by the squirrel.
Well, I just wouldn't be hugging any squirrels in the Angeles National Forest right now.
Well, yeah.
And if we get any new info on this, so we'll keep you informed.
Yeah, keep your staff on that, Dr. Day.
All right, now all across the United States, there are so many stories of bears being bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bears coming into the cities. This is a banner year for the bears. Well, in Reno, Nevada, they're trying a new program. It's called Scare a Bear.
Well.
Now listen to this. A 325-pound black bear captured in Verde after causing some property damage has been released back into the wild with a rude send-off. Now, here's what they're doing. The wildlife officials, they shot rubber bullets at him. They chased him with bear dogs and did everything they can to scare him out of the city. Now, the goal is, they think, to make the bear think twice before wandering back to a civilized area.
Hmm.
Now, what do you think about that program?
Well, you know what I was thinking? I was wondering what Dave Davies would think about that program, Dr. Day.
Well, Larry, you know, sometimes you just got to stop, hold on, and stay in control.
Thanks, Dave.
And now back to the news. All right, a dead gray whale has washed up on the beach in Grayland, Washington. Now, this is a rather large creature, and the Fish and Wildlife Department have taken tissue samples to try to determine what was the cause of death. So we're investigating the death of a gray whale.
Well, keep us up to date on that. That's very important.
We shall. All right, not another turtle story.
Oh, no.
Melbourne Beach, Florida. Two satellite transmitter-equipped female loggerhead sea turtles named Ripley and Johnny were released from the Archie Carr National Wildlife Refuge. Now, they do a lot of work with the turtles. Now, the researchers will use weather satellites to track the turtles' day-by-day movements and collect data on their species because, as we know, they are endangered.
Yes, they are. So good luck with that project.
Yeah, we want to do everything we can to keep up
with
the boys.
Because you know what we like?
We love those turtles.
Baby turtles, yeah.
All right, now I call this next story, What Were They Thinking? Raleigh, North Carolina. A North Carolina judge is ordering a state agency to pay $75,000 in legal fees to an animal rights group trying to stop a community from using a live possum in its New Year's Eve celebration.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, possum. Organizers of the Brasstown Possum Drop trap a wild possum, put it in a clear plastic box each December 31st, and the box is lowered to the ground at midnight, and sometime during the night, the possum is released.
Oh, God. You know, they're just asking for trouble. My gosh. They might as well just put out big flags or signs saying, humane societies across North America, please come after us. God.
Yeah, okay, well, you know. Now, you've raised a lot of exotic animals over the years. Have you ever been bitten by an otter?
I can say I have not.
I can say I have not either. Well, two teenage girls in Kalama, Washington, weren't as lucky. They were playing on a rope swing on the bank of the Kalama River when they were bit by an otter as they swam back to the other shore. Now, otters generally aren't aggressive, but you know any parents, if you get between them and their babies,
there's going to be a problem.
There's going to be a problem.
I saw a video this week, Dr. Day, of a guys in an SUV, and there was a moose with two calves walking in front of them.
Oh, no.
And they kept trying to, you know, go around them. The mother moose had a completely different idea about it. She literally body slammed that SUV about three times. They finally were able to get around it, but, you know, moose, bears, the list goes on and on.
Yep, all the way down to ducks.
And even a duck will attack you.
That's
several
right.
Golfers that have run into the mother duck and the ducklings and get chased off the eighth hole.
All right, well, we've got some bad news.
Oh, no.
More bad news. For the five people in South Portland, Maine, that were attacked by a fox, the testing has been confirmed. The fox has rabies.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry to relate that news to you. All right, now, the District of Columbia, scientists at the Smithsonian's National Zoo are hoping that their female panda is pregnant.
I'll bet.
They think there's a really good chance, so we're keeping a good thought there. Now, how much fun would this be? Lansing, Michigan. State biologists and volunteers have rounded up more than 1,000 Canada geese and fitted them with leg bands as part of a nationwide program to track the population and the movement of the geese in the United States. Yes.
Well, there's a million here in Indiana. I can tell them that right now.
Yeah, can you imagine? Oh, all I have to say is that would be a crappy job.
That would be.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
my gosh.
All right, we're running a little late tonight. Let's get on with the Wild World Facts for August 1st. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Polar bears are capable of jumping as high as 6 feet in the air and can run as fast as 25 miles an hour.
I knew that.
Which is not a good thing if you're a seal.
Or if you can only run 23 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, large kangaroos can cover over 30 feet with each jump.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's quite a leap for kangaroo kind.
Yes, it is.
All right, now, all of those of you who have arachnophobia.
Fear of spiders.
Fear of spiders. You are more likely to be killed by a champagne cork than a poisonous spider.
Is that true?
I'm afraid it is.
My gosh.
Yep. So if you don't open a bottle of champagne, I guess you've got a pretty good life.
Oh, there you go.
All right, now I swear I'm not making this up. Anatidaphobia is the irrational fear that somehow, somewhere, a duck is watching you. All right, I think I've done enough damage for the night. That's the Wild World News for August 1st.
Oh, my. Once again, a wonderful job done by Dr. Henry Day and the Wild World News staff. We'd like to thank Wildlife Educational Services and our brand new Larry Batson Wild World Facebook page put together by Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson. Go to the page. Say you like it. It helps us out so much. It's right there on the Facebook. Larry Batson's Wild World. Also, my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do and also our wildlife education programs. And our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, with lots of stuff about animals, questions, quizzes, pictures. It's all there. on Facebook, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. All these things makes it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Freedom is such a precious thing. Don't just talk about it. Raise your voice and sing.
Freedom.
Voice of Carl Story, the band, the Faith Band. I tell you what, in Indianapolis, all through the Midwest, when the Faith Band played anywhere, the place was packed. We thought it was just a place for them to practice between concerts, because I'm going to tell you, they were a rock and roll band in all aspects. I'm telling you, I'm so excited to have him on the program tonight, because I had a chance to see him perform so many times. Our guest tonight, all the way from Denton, Texas, but getting ready to come back and be a Hoosier once again, Carl Story. Good evening, Carl.
Good evening, Larry. How are you?
It's good
to be on the show, man. I've really enjoyed what I've been able to catch of your show, and I'm just excited to be on your show.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Listen to that.
What's that?
That song, my God, that brought back so many memories.
It did for me as well. I started thinking about the fact that the keyboard player Johnny Casella, who went on to play with John Mellencamp, he had the first synthesizer in Indiana. We kind of got out and mingled with the guys that were making it big at the time, and so we thought we heard this weird thing called a Moog synthesizer, and that was what the solo was, and it was kind of interesting to hear that. I don't remember the last time I've heard that song.
It
was really fun.
What a wonderful player.
We came so close to making it all the way over the hill that I don't know how a band could stay together as long as we did, and how we didn't actually make it with as many record deals as we had. We had about 4 or 5 record deals. But, yeah, as many people as you've talked to in the business, is that common, or do you think that's kind of rare, or what would you think about that?
Well, I think it's atrocious that you guys didn't get a major record deal, major hits. Because I'm telling you, when we went to see you guys play, it was – you know, we'd go see bands all the time, but when Faith Band came in, it was like, here we go. This is the band we want to see. This is the band we want to hear. I'll tell you one thing. If you wanted to see the prettiest girls, you went to a Faith Band show.
Yep, That's when we were really lucky, I guess. I don't know why. There wasn't really anybody atrocious.
No.
I think it was the energy. I gotta say it's the energy. I don't think it was the good looks. I just think it was we tried to have a party on stage, and we kind of conveyed that as we had fun. And that was basically the night, because if we weren't having fun, you know, I guess that's true with most bands, but you can tell it. But all of my relatives and they say, well, Carl Storey's never worked a day in his life, and they're right, because I played every day of my life that I could play music, you know, and so I was fortunate in doing that, and still getting calls to come back from Indiana. I've got to go back about 7 days. So I just miss the old players, man, especially the late, great John Cassello, man. I can't talk enough about him. I think he was the heartbeat of that band, the Faith Band, because...
he was.
You know,
he was a sax player,
vocalist.
I forgot he played the sax too. You know, it's kind of funny, John.
As well as anybody.
Yeah, he was, and he played a Hammond B3 like no one else. I mean,
yeah, that was his main instrument. That was what he was known for.
He had a little thing that he did on the
keyboards that was just unique. As well, and we won't spend the whole interview, I hope, talking about John, but he was a national accordion champion when he was 14 years old, and he took me to New York with him, or New Jersey, where he was from,
mm-hmm.
and we obviously went to New York, but I saw the trophy he got, and it was almost as tall as I was, which I'm not a very tall man, but it was, I mean, you know, it was at least five feet high, I think. I know I'm about 5'6" or 5'7" or something anyway. But he showed me this trophy, and he wasn't very enthusiastic. But, oh yeah, that's a trophy I won for being national accordion champion, you know. And they showed me the little diamond studded Casella with his name on the side of it, which was his grandfather's accordion, which, you know,
sure.
It's always fun. Both my grandparents were music teachers, but back in Tennessee where I was born, but I don't have any relics like that. I do have my grandmother's accordion. I do have to say that. But those were the days, man. The music. How could you not have, when all the guys that started playing when they were like kids? You know, it was all the guys in that band, with the exception of myself, and I didn't start until after the Beatles came out. Like, I've seen so many interviews where the performer was asked, "What got you in the music business? What got you into this?" And it's always been, for the listeners out there, I'm kind of dating myself, but it was always after that first or second Ed Sullivan show with the Beatles, introducing the Beatles to America, and then the next thing you know, I'm pawning my dad's tools that I know he doesn't use, and we buy the cheapest little guitars and amps that the loan sharks out there had at the time, you know. So,
sure.
And I started off as a guitar player, and it broke my heart that I couldn't learn it well enough to play in the band. So they said, "No, you can't play. You've got to be the singer." And I, at the time, I only knew of Mick Jagger and a few little independent, you know, Mick was the only cool guy, and I knew I could never be a Mick Jagger. So, you know, I wanted to be one of the Beatles, I guess. So. But how did I get on this with you, Larry? I don't know. You're going to have to lead the way, man. I just gather.
No, that's great. Well, you have a very soulful voice, because if you tried, you know, I thought you guys picked your material quite well.
Yeah, I started off with the Beatles and country music and whatever was going on in the early 60s and mid 60s, and when I was just a kid. And listening to it with my mom, you know, and as she had iron, she'd have an AM radio on or something. And I just fell in love with R&B. And because I grew up on country music, being in Tennessee, it was always, ladies and gentlemen, the Grand Ole Opry. And that was my
ear. Of course.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, so so I've had a lot of different shades of music in my life.
Well, you know, it's all come around because probably the first, you know, the Beatles did country. One of the great songs they wrote that was country in their early albums was I'm a Loser. I mean, if that was recorded now by a country band, it'd be perfect.
Exactly. Well, I should write that down. Take some of your ideas.
And, you know, when you're listening,
I'm a Loser, that little guy stole that. Anyway.
It's a great country song. And
I didn't put it in that category, but I'm anxious to see what that's like.
Well,
I mean, to try it, you know.
Yeah. It'd be absolutely perfect.
That's really neat.
And, you know, now when you're listening, let's say if you're traveling, got the radio on, and you're surfing for a radio station, if you enter a song with the guitar breaks, you can't tell whether it's a country song or a rock song.
Right.
You have to wait for them to start singing again.
And my uncle was he had been thrown out of the Grand Ole Opry trying to sneak in as a young entertainer, and he was so upset that country was going to this rock, and another guy that George Jones told Alan Jackson, he said, man, please don't fall into that new country, stay true to your country music, you know, and. I think Alan Jackson has, but I really like a lot of the new country. In fact, we have an album that we recorded that's in the can right now, as we call it in the record. Well, we used to call it. I don't know what the young guys call it. It's still in the record on the computer
the
now.
Drive.
Yeah, Back when I did it, it was just 2-inch tape, I suppose, and so they would put it in these little metal containers. So that's where I guess they got it in the can, right?
I would think so. But you know, I've talked about the show before, Carl. Do you remember the days? You know, in '64 when the Beatles come out, and we bought 45, and
right.
There was a record shop in Indianapolis called Lyric Records where they kept the 45s behind the counter, and you had to ask for them.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement of a new Beatles single coming out, the albums, there was never, ever any promotion. They just appeared on the shelf one day. Oh, there's the Beatles album. And that was just, you know.
Yeah. I had all of them and lost them
too.
in a basement flood. I moved to California, and I asked my sister to keep all my collection, and she had them in her basement, lined up against, you know, in between two pieces of furniture, obviously. And it's their basement flooded, and I came back and you know all your records, and I'm like, yeah, they're gone.
Oh my God!
And I was just like, you know, but. I didn't realize really how much I had lost at that time because I had some of the real what is considered now rare Beatles albums at that time, you know, being out on the road and being able to find them and being able to, and other people's albums that I, you know, can't, that it doesn't come to mind, but
just to go back into conversation a little bit, you said your relatives never worked a day in your life. I know for a fact that doing this rock and roll musician thing is one of the hardest jobs you could ever go after.
It really is hard. I mean, it really takes it out of you. I just jumped back into it and had that feeling, you know, like they say, you know, you know. Oh, go ahead and do it, Julian. It's like riding a bike; you never forget. And I've forgotten that it did require a lot of physical activity to get the crowd going. And you don't just stand there and sing if you're a kind of a rock singer. You clap and run and jump and, you know, try to get it going. And I was actually fatigued after I'd been off for 5 years. And
I'll
I hadn't
bet.
Sang in 5 years really on stage. Yeah. I just recently did an interview in Muncie, Indiana. I did a little video station there for Ball State. I did a little show. It's actually, can I mention that or should I?
Sure.
Cookin' Bell's Playhouse, if anybody wants to YouTube it. But I was just devastated at how, you know, how weird it is to be thrown back into the business after being away from it for so long, you know.
Yeah.
And Brett Cook kept asking me about, you know, things like that. And it really made me feel like, you know, I'm kind of glad that I'm getting back into this because I didn't realize how much I missed it. So, but Michelle, another Muncie Press interviewed, and she said, Carl, what are you doing back? I know you've retired from music two or three times because I've done interviews with you. And I thought, yeah, you know, I have retired, and I'm trying to, but I keep getting really good calls that I can't turn down to come back and play. And that's what I'm doing at this point in time, you know. I mean, it was kind of funny because she was like going, didn't we retire you about two or three times ago, you know? What are you doing now? Why are you, you know, what are you doing here? So it's like old habits, I guess, never die sometimes. Here I am still involved.
Your spirit is beyond to retire. We need Carl's story music for a long, long time still. So the retirement thing, just take it out of your vocabulary, because we need Carl's story. Our guest tonight, Carl's story from the legendary Faith Band. We're going to take a short break. You have been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website, and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We will be back in just moments with Carl's story. some great tunes tonight, everybody. So what a great personality. We're lucky to have him on the program. We also want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, for being one of our underwriters. If you've never been to the West, never had a chance to see the Colorado Rockies, you're really missing something. McGregor Mountain Lodge on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park, hiking, gosh, fishing, wildlife viewing, photography, it's all there. So visit Estes Park, Colorado. What a great little town that is as well. Lots to see and do. But stay at McGregor Mountain Lodge at McGregorMountainLodge.com. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. Of the Faith Band of Magical Voice of Carl Story. One of my favorite songs, by far the best version ever done of that song, Dancing Shoes. Carl, my Lord, that is still wonderful.
Thank you, man. It's kind of nice to hear that as well, you know. I'm going to have to break out the old tapes after this show. Recorded by about seven other artists, and I don't know why that Nigel Olsen's version of it got the highest on the charts. I think he got to something like 18 on the rock charts, and then number ten in easy listening. Yeah.
Wow.
But so we both had a kind of a little race to the top when we did recorded that song. Our version of it wasn't even for sure going to be on the album until we had sent Bang Records, which Nigel Olsen was on trying to become a solo artist, a copy of it. And we said, well, our band managers asked, well, what do you think of the band? They're great. Would you like to sign them? No, but we'd like the version of the Dancing Shoes song. And so they did it before we ever recorded. They even released our album or had a record deal. And we heard, it was almost like weird. It was like there's a ghost here somewhere. People kept telling us, it's becoming a big hit in Florida and around the southern part of the United States. And we were like, what is going on? and we found out that Nigel Olsen had, we'd given him permission to record it, and so it did make the album, my album, because it was so, it was almost like we were talking before, it was almost so country and eagle-ish sounding compared to some of the power rock songs that the Faith Band was doing at the time. So, but I'm grateful for it, that he did
it. Oh, my Lord.
Even though, you know, that we, even though we didn't get quite as high on the charts with it, but it was kind of funny having my version and Nigel's version on the national Billboard charts at the same time. And I'm sure there's other artists that have done some similar things, but I don't, nothing comes to mind right now. But that was a great time in my life to be, you know, hanging out. I caught a lot of. Does it sound reminiscent of the Eagles to you? Because I was listening.
No.
I was a big fan of the Eagles. Oh, okay, no. Good. Because I did get almost an argument with a guy in Minnesota, maybe somewhere up in, that on an interview, and he was getting kind of mean to me on
oh,
radio.
My Lord.
That he said, "Yeah, it sounds to me like you stole that song right from the Eagles." And I said, "Oh, I didn't really. It wasn't intentional, but you know, that's just, you know, I suppose you could find something anywhere, you know, that'll sound like something if your musical vocabulary is that large."
Yeah, that's.
I was sitting here thinking while we were on a little break there, and I was thinking about the kangaroo that jumped. Dr. Day said the kangaroo jumps 30 feet.
Yes, it does.
Did you? Is that amazing to you?
Yes, it is.
And the other thing that I would like...
That's amazing.
The other thing that... is Dr. Day with us?
Yes, he's here.
On the air now?
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Dr. Day.
Oh, well, hi, Carl.
All right. Hey, Dr. Day, I wanted to ask you, or you, Larry, the common, little common turtle, little things bigger than my hand. I moved into a place here, down here, when I first came down to Texas, and there was a pet turtle that would come up on the porch, and he had these little orange, like almost octagons or squares, or orange and brown.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, he would eat slugs and lettuce and any kind of green or green stuff that I'd throw out on the porch, and he would come up frequently, and then he disappeared.
If
I was what happened, but what are those?
I assume it's a Texas gopher tortoise, young one, because they get great big.
Texas gopher tortoise.
That's what I would.
You said he had orange spots on him.
Well, no, they're not spots. They were more like little squares or octagons or rectangles, but it was a little brown and kind of yellow. I don't know what that would be. Or dark or light orange.
It could be a box turtle.
Yeah, it could be that too. But
yeah. No, it was just kind of fun to hear you guys talk about turtles and about 5 years ago I had my own little turtle. But
well, after midnight it gets real fun to listen talk about turtles. Get a couple.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's get off turtles.
I
wanted to find out what kind of turtle I'd been feeding. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Let's get back to music. Whatever you think, man. I'm just having a great time sitting here.
Well, we were expecting a guest from 314. Did it show up yet, Melissa?
I'm sorry?
We were expecting a guest from 314. Did that show up yet, Melissa?
Oh, Melissa.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
We're still waiting for him to call in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we were, I can tell you the funny story. I went clear to Gulf Shores, Mississippi. This is before the big hurricane, because I had a friend down there who had captured me a 80-pound alligator snapping turtle that I wanted to use in my school lecture. So I drive clear to Mississippi, which is about 12 hours, and drove back. And I was down in Mississippi, and we were having breakfast, and I was getting ready to go back, and this old fellow goes, "Where are you from?" I says, I'm from Indiana. He says, how far is that? I says, well, 12 hours, 700 miles. And he looked at me, and he kind of looked off in the distance and looked back. And he says, you drove 700 miles in 12 hours for a turtle. I said, I am killed.
For a turtle?
He says, don't
well,
you have turtles in Indiana? We do, but we don't have this particular type.
River turtles, that's all I've seen. The Black River, whatever those turtles are on White River.
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sure you have. What am I saying?
Yeah, painted turtles.
It's like asking.
Snapping turtles. So when you were doing the faith band.
Snapping turtles?
Yeah,
let's get back to the faith band.
When you were doing the faith band, you had an opportunity to open up for a lot of big rock bands. Who were some of the rock bands you had a chance to meet and rub shoulders with and all that stuff?
Well, boy, gosh, I tell you.
Send
boy, I don't know where to start. Fleetwood Mac, let's see, like we talked about, Foghat comes to mind. Gosh, you know what, Larry? There's so many that I'll be watching TV and or we'll be listening to the radio with the kids, and I'll say, yeah, I opened for them, and it's yeah, I know, we know, Dad, you've opened for so many bands and all this stuff, and it's like, you know, gosh, I just wanted to mention that. I don't know.
Sure.
And it's almost like I don't. There was just about anybody who came through Indianapolis during these mid-70s and late 80s, or not late 80s, early 80s, sometimes if they fit the genre of music that we were playing, we would open for them. And Marshall Tucker, Molly Hatchett, let's see, who else? I just can't even tell you. What was really fun was playing the music for people like Sam the Sham, who came into this was after his big hit.
Wooly Bully.
What was that hit?
Wooly Bully,
of course.
Yeah.
And he didn't even have a band or anything. He just had a little truck with a camper shell after his hit. And we came in, and he expected us to just know all of his songs. And we didn't rehearse. We didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then another guy, which we did quite well with because everybody knows Chuck Berry's stuff.
Sure.
And he did the same thing. Chuck comes in with a gal, and it was his main interest. We were trying to get information out of him to what he wanted to play in, et cetera. Just watch me out. Just listen to me. you'll know what to do. And he was more interested in talking to his blonde-haired gal. And he was interested in, you know, I mean, by then, even in the early 70s, it was old hat for Chuck, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
Just follow the three chord progression I'm going to play, boys. And the show went well, but let's see. Gosh, I'm still trying to think. I'm nothing comes to mind. I told you I flew back from Texas from Indiana to Texas last night with hardly any sleep. So if I sound a little bit like I'm out of my mind, it's out of sleep deprivation or whatever, because it's not. I don't have any. I'm too old to blame it on anything anymore. You know, when you get my age, you just sit around and I still stay active. I gotta say,
that's why you have to continue playing music. Yeah, you have to continue playing music.
Yeah, I know, and
performing.
Yeah, and get the right haircuts these days. Now I've started thinking about my hair and stuff again. There was a time there I just thought, well, I'm glad all that's over with. I don't have to keep my that stage looking. But nowadays you see, I think the grungier you are, the cooler it is. You know, and so back in the old days, you wanted to be kind of spiffed up, you know, like I was telling you when Foghat arrived, and lots of English bands. Who did these? Do you feel like I feel? Do you
Peter
Frampton thing in his mouth? No, Peter Frampton. Thank you.
Yeah.
My mind's not going. I mean, my body's going, but my mind. I mean, my mind's going, but my body's still good. Yeah.
Give me another 20 minutes. I'll be
the same. Right now. Oh my gosh. Anyway, Peter Frampton is another one that we opened up for, and was just a tremendously nice guy. That was back when he had long, long hair.
Mm-hmm.
And we played with him for a local radio show there in Indianapolis. Where they had this thing called Live Day, and he shows up, and he's about as tall as I am, and he had no hair whatsoever.
Yeah,
and it was just he had a little bit on, and it was just such a transformation. I just couldn't believe it. I tried to ask him if he remembered us, and he didn't. But
well, but, you know, it was the 70s, so
right.
Yeah. And,
as we moved on in to, you know, before Terry Knight, who was going to be our manager and who dubbed us with the name Faith, and it was just Faith at the time. Terry had us. He really put a lot of hype into the thing, and at the time he had arranged for a band called Styx to open for us.
Oh yeah.
So when we were closely guarded. We were his big secret, and no one knew who we were. We couldn't sign any contracts. There was no pictures of us. If you recall the album cover, Faith, the black album with our backs to the world, and we're holding on to each other without shirts. There was a magazine, an article in Playboy magazine that said, "Who are these gay blades?" I think it was one of the magazines, the music magazines, discovered that we had previously recorded the same album that Terry Knight released as Faith, and we were called the Chosen Few at that time.
Yeah.
And it just wrecked the world. They said Terry Knight's supergroup, Faith, turns out to be a bunch of hicks from Indiana called the Chosen Few. And it just broke everybody's hearts. And we did recover with Dancing Shoes and some of the other things that we, you know, got the opportunity to do, and all those other bands that we got the opportunity to open up for and what have you.
And
but that was an interesting part of the life.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, for many of our listeners who may not know this, Terry Knight was responsible for Grand Funk Railroad and got
right.
Shot off.
You take so much for granted. I assumed everybody knew who Terry Knight was, but nobody does.
We need to have a show. I was telling the wife that in high school now, because we were watching the Pawn Stars, and the son didn't know any. They were buying some albums, and he didn't know any of the groups from the 70s or 80s. And that told me right then that they need to have a music history class in high school now. Starting in the 60s and going up to the 80s of all these wonderful musicians that they may have missed out on, because they did. I still say we grew up in the greatest era of music that's been produced, from the Beatles all up through Led Zeppelin. It's just... it's amazing. I mean,
yeah, I have to. Of course, I'm going to agree with you, but my daughter's starting. She's working her way up now and recording, and she would totally disagree.
She would disagree.
She thinks she likes it. Yeah, I just this afternoon talked her into removing her nose ring that she'd put in while I was away. In Indiana, while I was working up there, gigging up there, and I said, "Look, I will move. I'll move your furniture for you and everything today, if you will take that. Let me take the nose ring out."
Carl.
And I was so happy. I know. It's like my dad talking, bribing me into getting my hair, my long, down to my waist haircut back in the 70s, and getting a flat top or something. But
yeah.
She's good with it. She's good with it. I don't know. It was just couldn't stand to see my little baby. You know, well, she's not a baby. She's grown, but I mean, she's 23. But couldn't stand to see this. You know, I said, oh, it wasn't just me. But I don't want to discourage any of the enthusiasts of piercing because, I mean, one day I might try that.
Carl, my daughter's...
I've got a couple of piercing in me.
My daughter's 23, and she has a ruby in her nose. So I know exactly what you mean.
All right. Well, she still has the ring on the side of her nose. I mean, a ring on the side of her nose, and I like that. And Megan can put a stone or anything that she wants in it. But this was right in the center of your whatever that is, your septum or whatever. I don't know. It'd be.
Oh yeah.
Whatever the myth. Yeah, that thing. And when I was a kid growing up in Tennessee, I used to watch them put the rings in the bulls' noses, and I hated it. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't stand that. I thought that was the coolest thing I ever saw in my life. And they would lead, you know, actually lead those darn bulls around like that with those things. In the, but anyway, such as appearances and so on, and one of her videos, she has that, and I said, well, good. See, you got to do your video with your pierced nose, and now it's out, and you can carry on with life, and everything will be great.
Well,
and I can stand to look at your face now and not just focus on that little thing sticking out of your nose.
Well,
but you got to hang on to me, Larry, because I get so excited because I'm on the radio and we're reaching so many people. I just get excited and I tend to lose my train of thought. So you're gonna have to say Carl.
No,
you were talking about something else now. You were talking about your uncle getting thrown out.
Yeah. My question was, when her first boyfriend comes by, did he have a chance to meet Carl Story, former lead singer of Faith Band, or Carl Story, redneck dad? Were you sharpening up your chainsaw when he comes? First day come by.
No, but I she does have a new boyfriend, and I asked, and I said, well, what's your boyfriend think of your new piercing? And she said, well, he's got four pierces in his face and tattoos all the way up on one side of his arm.
Oh, well.
And I just didn't say a thing about it, but she was pulling my leg. He's the cleanest looking little dude that I've ever run across, and
oh, good,
you know, good looking little clean cut character.
Does he have a job?
No, he's probably the one you should be afraid of.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, really.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
Is he
That's
employed?
A good point, Dr. Day. I know he's. I think he does work at one of the health food stores here, and he's going to school as well. So I think that's good.
No, that's great.
So, the interesting thing is about Megan playing music. All of my kids have turned out to be musicians, and I didn't have a clue that any of them would be interested in music. I wanted them to. I wanted them to get involved, but everybody plays something, so I'm really blessed about that. You know.
Well, it's just
what do you say after something?
Well, I you should be proud. I mean, they're living on your legacy, and what a legacy it is. I mean, and you're not done yet. I mean, better not be. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm finding out that even though I may have plans to do something down here, there's other things at work in the world, and next thing I know, I'm getting opportunities to come back and do what I love most.
Well,
and that's playing
if you do
music,
it here in Indiana, close by, I'll definitely be in the audience. I'll tell you.
We will be there.
We will be there.
Right.
Pick you up on that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
our guest this week, Carl Story. Go ahead.
How proud I am to be a part of, after listening to so many shows and learning so much about, you know, the other musicians that I'm just really grateful to be on your show, Larry. Thanks for asking me.
Well, we're going to do this again because you're working on a project. And if you don't mind, as soon as that project is available to our listeners, we want to have you back on and just play the Dickens out of it and promote it, because
that's fantastic.
Carl's story has a really good soul, and I knew it from the first time I saw him. Though I have to admit, the first time I ever had a chance to talk with you, which I'm sure you don't remember, it was in some club somewhere, and I said, that was a nice set, guy. And you told me, thanks, man. And that was my Carl story quote. Thanks, man.
Well,
I still remember
that. All kinds of stuff. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm finding all kinds of people these days that were kids when I was playing, and they're very successful now. Like today, I just got endorsed by a harmonica guy. I don't even remember the name of the harmonica that he's going to turn me on to, or the harmonicas. That he said, I want you playing a buddy of mine, and I was kind of, you know, he said he wants to tell me his dream, and I just said, yeah, man, we'll stay after it, because one day you may do it, it'll happen for you. You know?
It's going to happen.
And, yeah, so anyway, you never know. You just know.
Yeah, that's, well, yeah. What a great show, Dr. Day.
Yep, I wanted to tell Carl, get excited. The Indiana State Fair opens tomorrow.
All right. I won't be back for 7 days. How long does it?
It's forever.
It'll still be open. Yeah,
you'll
participate.
It is.
No,
thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you.
It's really great to hear your voice.
Well, I hope I haven't been too random. I get so excited about speaking about my past and what have you. I tend to just go everywhere with it. I really enjoy you guys. You guys are the professionals, and I enjoy that. So,
well,
I'll
say
you guys
that.
You guys do keep us informed.
Well, we'll try and whatever we get. Anyway, what a wonderful show, Dr. Day.
Yes, thank you so much, Carl. It was nice to walk down memory lane again.
It was. Next
you,
week
Dr.
on the program, the legendary Yellowstone Park Ranger, Bob Jackson. We're going back to Yellowstone. We're going to be talking wolves, buffalo, and he said he has some fantastic bear stories that are absolutely true. And then hold on to your hats.
Wow.
The week after that, we're going to the Monterey Bay Aquarium. We're going to be talking sharks, so lots of great things coming up. Folks, you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.